Hi, this is Rachel with another episode from this year that offered some escapism from the pandemic and everything that has come with it. My conversation with the art historian and writer Ben Lewis about the mysterious story of the world's most expensive painting. Ben, can you take us inside the auction room at Christie's, November the 17th, 2017? What happens and what's it like?
And so, ladies and gentlemen, we move to the Leonardo da Vinci, the Salvator Mundi, the masterpiece by Leonardo of Christ the Saviour.
There's something sexy about it, you know, but also something perverted. There's a sort of hush, you know, isn't there? And the odd gasp as something reaches the stratospheric level.
200 million is bid at 200 million. At 200 million.
It seems that there were quite a few bidders up to about 220 million.
For the Leonardo. Sir, are you coming back in?
After 220 million, there were just two bidders, both anonymous, both on the phone. You know, one bidder was kind of normal. He turned out to be the underbidder, the one who didn't win. But the other guy, his bidding, that was off the map. You know, suddenly he would lob in a $10 million increment.
I thought so. 300 million.
And then the next thing, he would lob in an $18 million increment. I mean, what, you know, why overpay by $18 million for something? And then the winning bid, right? The bidding was at $370 million.
$400 million is the bid, and the piece is sold.
And with that, a painting that was thought to have been lost to history, sold for more than any work of art ever had at a public auction. But how? Ben Lewis is an art historian and has spent years trying to decode this mystery.
No one knew when the auction ended who the winning bidder was, and it's very unlikely that the winning bidder wanted his identity to be outed.
His book, The Last Leonardo, drawn from hours of interviews with people across the art world, tells a story of a painting that may be a masterpiece, or not by Leonardo da Vinci at all.
Now, it is the greatest guessing game in the art world today. Who bought Salvador Mundi? Christie's, of course, won't say who the buyer is, only saying that, quote, the bids came from all over the world.
From The Guardian, I'm Rachel Humphreys. Today in Focus, how the Salvator Mundi became the world's most expensive painting.
And so the saviour of the world, originally commissioned by a French king, Louis XII, and once owned by an English one, Charles I, is destined to find a new owner.
Now the question is whether it's a US buyer or someone from overseas. Most of the speculation is on foreign buyers today, probably China or Asia.
Somehow, you know, the name got out, and it was either because people in Saudi Arabia were so amazed at what had happened, you know, that insiders leaked the information, or it's because somebody, you know, in the American intelligence service was monitoring what Mohammed bin Salman was doing. Maybe some bloke at the FBI was sort of monitoring Mohammed bin Salman. I was like, this is so gross. I got to phone up the New York Times. Anyway, so it got out that Mohammed bin Salman, the de facto ruler of Saudi Arabia, the guardian of Mecca, had bought, you know, a very significant image of Jesus Christ.
So Mohammed bin Salman obviously hasn't confirmed that he was the buyer. It seems that an associate of his was sent to do the bidding that day in November 2017. Why do you think bin Salman might have wanted the painting? I mean, is he known to be an art collector?
I think Mohammed bin Salman thought he was buying the male Mona Lisa. And in a way, it's a good bet. You know, if you put it in a museum in his kingdom or you put it in the Abu Dhabi Louvre, maybe people would flock to the Abu Dhabi Louvre just like they flock to the Louvre.
What do you think this purchase tells us about Abu Dhabi and Saudi Arabia?
It tells us that they want to use art as camouflage. You know, kings and queens bought works of art for status and used them to make themselves look more glamorous. But you know, nowadays, it's all that, and it's also something else, something worse, because it's to distract us from everything else they're doing, to distract us from the liberals they've arrested. It's to distract us from the activists that they put in prison. It's to distract us from all the human rights abuses that, you know, are listed in The Guardian.
If I was to stand in front of the Salvator Mundi, what would I see? What would I be looking at?
Well, the full technical documentation of the restoration and all the photographs to go with it have not actually been publicly released. But if you were standing in front of it, what you would see is a bust portrait of Christ. His right hand would be raised in blessing, you know, with his fingers crossed. And I think fingers crossed is quite a significant symbol for this picture in lots of different ways, you know, like good luck or I'm fibbing. But anyway, here it's like, I'm blessing you. Christ is blessing you. And on the other hand, he's holding this transparent orb, right? And this kind of picture, you know, it's called a Salvator Mundi. It's a picture for private devotion. It's like 46 centimetres high, 36 centimetres long. And Christ's face wafts out at you in this soft, smoky look, which is, you know, Leonardo's trademark style. It's called sfumato. The result is like a head that almost looks like an apparition.
The Salvator Mundi is painted by probably the most famous artist in the world, Leonardo da Vinci, which is a name that most people, I think, are familiar with. But who was he?
He lived between 1452 and 1519. And Leonardo is known for his delicacy and his grace and his fusion of naturalism and idealism.
Do we know how many paintings he produced in his lifetime?
There are a maximum of 20 surviving paintings by Leonardo, and 14 of those are widely agreed to be Leonardo's. And I think you can whittle it down to 9 if you're really, really fussy. So let's just say there are 14 bona fide, universally agreed Leonardo's surviving in the world today. And let me just tell you how little that is. Do you know how many pictures, surviving pictures, we have by Raphael?
No.
200.
Okay, wow. Why is that?
Because Leonardo spent a lot of time conducting his, you know, scientific studies. And he also took a long time to paint his pictures. You know, he wasn't particularly keen on painting. You know, he got bored. He left a lot of pictures unfinished. You know, and there's a famous quote by Leonardo, "La pittura è cosa mentale," which is basically, painting is all in the mind.
That sounds like a great excuse for not doing any work, doesn't it?
Do you know how he worked after he became famous? He would sit in his studio producing a prototype, a sort of master picture of something like the Mona Lisa or the Virgin and Child with St. Anne. While he was making his cartoon or his sort of prototype, his assistants were busy making copies that were then sold. The question with the Salvator Mundi painting is that Leonardo's prototype? Or is it just another copy?
Who is it that discovers the Salvator Mundi and where do they find it?
These two dealers, Robert Simon and Alex Parrish, they found the Salvator Mundi at an obscure auction house in New Orleans.
The painting turned up in an auction in New Orleans, Louisiana in April of 2005. It was a picture in a minor auction house and one that that I spotted in a catalogue together with a colleague of mine, Alexander Parrish.
They're such a good chalk and cheese couple, or partnership, I should say. I mean, Robert Simon's like, you know, quiet, erudite, bit strategic, diplomatic, careful. Alex Parrish is like Indiana Jones. You know, he's a sort of intrepid explorer. He gets his hands dirty finding pictures and, you know, amazing guy. You know, he knew when the internet came along, he was smart enough to develop this his own database of auction houses that might have pictures that interest him and to make sure they sent him their electronic catalogues or their newsletters or whatever. And he says that he used to spend 10 hours a day click, 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 clicking. He said there was no picture that was for sale anywhere in America that I didn't know about. That was my ambition. One day, Alex Parrish click, click, clicked. And he found the Salvator Mundi, item 664 in, you know, St. Charles Gallery, New Orleans, estate sale, you know. Actually, if you're a dealer and you see a Salvator Mundi, you kind of know that there are lots of versions of it. You know, that's well known. You know that Leonardo might have painted the original. So it's odd that only Alex spotted this picture and that when it was auctioned, he was possibly the only bidder. It was estimated only $1,200 to $1,800. It's like, nuts.
And what year was this?
This was 2005. He rings up Robert Simon and says, will you go halves with me on this? So each of them bought the Salvator Mundi for under $600 in 2005. Neither of them went to New Orleans. It was all done on the internet and the phone. And, you know, Robert Simon and Alex Parrish had been going around telling everybody that they'd paid around $10,000 for it. Well, you would, wouldn't you? I mean, you know.
You wouldn't say, actually, we paid just less than $600 each for what was thought at the time. You can't, was a Leonardo.
Not, yeah, you're not going to say, I bought a Leonardo for half the price of an iPhone, are you?
But the painting that turns up when it's sent to them from the auction house, what does it look like at this stage?
It looked like a work by a follower of Leonardo da Vinci of the Salvator Mundi. It was badly overpainted. The first known photograph of this picture dates from 1907 to 1908 when it was in the Cook collection. And you can see in that picture that it's had a very odd face job, that picture. I mean, Christ seems to have a sort of moustache and, you know, these sort of droopy eyes, like he's really stoned. And he sort of looks like a Mexican bandit from a sort of, you know, third-rate 50s Western. But the hand didn't have a lot of overpaint on it, and the hand looked very good. I mean, that's
the orb hand.
No, the blessing hand looked incredibly good. And that's what drew Alex Parrish's attention to it.
So by the time Alex Parrish and Robert Simon get the painting, they're pretty convinced by the hand that this is a genuine painting by Leonardo da Vinci.
No, I don't think so. That's not how they felt. They could see the blessing hand was really good, but they had no idea whether it was a Leonardo or not. They thought it was period, which means it could be A, by Leonardo, B, a sort of collaboration between Leonardo and his workshop, a design by Leonardo, painted by an assistant that Leonardo finished off, or it could be something painted entirely by one of Leonardo's assistants or followers based on a design or drawing that Leonardo had in his studio, which means it could have been painted, you know, when Leonardo was alive or 20 years after he was dead. The Salvator Mundi belongs in one of those three boxes.
So who do Alex Parrish and Robert Simon get to restore the painting?
Well, they went to Diane Modestini, who is a very, very highly regarded restorer who'd restored scores of paintings for the Kress collection for museums in America.
I was retouching the picture and I was studying it. There were a lot of changes, pentimenti of a major sort, which had already been exposed.
Is there a point to which a painting is restored so much that it moves away from being the original anymore?
Well, the problem is there are no hard and fast rules, right? The other problem that you have to bear in mind is there is a spectrum, right? With restoration at one end and forgery at the other. You know, you think that a forgery is sort of painted out of thin air, get a blank bit of canvas or a wood and bosh something up. No. A lot of forgeries, you know, are painted on really old pieces of wood. And a lot of them are also painted on top of second-rate pictures. So the sort of picture is kind of upcycled, you know, or cooked. You know, there's a bit of restoration that's fine, okay? You have holes in pictures. You know, most when you go into the National Gallery, we go into any museum, right? Most of these pictures are much more damaged than you think they are. So it's kind of okay to fill in the gaps between things. Like, okay, you know what's on either side, so you fill in the gaps. That's called in-painting or bridging. You know, but it's more difficult if you come to parts of the picture, you know, the Salvator Mundi's orb, his eyes, the mouth, where it's so badly damaged, you don't really know what was there to start with. What do you do then? Well, for some people in the art world, it's fine to make it look as good as new on best guesswork, fine. You're an expert restorer, you've got plenty of experience, you know, you've studied Renaissance painting and Leonardo's for decades. Do your best, because we know that some of these other bits are really good, so you can kind of make up the rest, you know, as best you can. But for other people, you know, that's an anathema. And one of the dilemmas of this painting, right, is it's really very okay to restore a picture like that if it's a market restoration, right? If you're selling the picture, if you're a dealer or private collector, that's what they want. It's not okay in the modern age to restore a picture like that if you're a museum. And the dilemma for us, for the Salvator Mundi, is that it's a market restoration of a museum painting.
The National Gallery in London took an interest in this painting for an upcoming Leonardo exhibition.
All of us at the National Gallery thought very hard indeed about including the Salvator Mundi in the exhibition. Obviously, it's a picture that has only just been attributed to Leonardo and it's in private hands. We felt in the end that the case for its attribution to Leonardo was sufficiently strong for this to be the moment where we would put it together with other works to see how people felt.
But a rather extraordinary meeting took place, didn't it, in London before that. What happened at that meeting?
Yeah, the National Gallery's director, Sir Nicholas Penny, and curator Luke Sison, who were organising a Leonardo exhibition, they saw the picture in New York. They liked it. They thought it was a Leonardo. They wanted to put it in their Leonardo show, which was going to take place in 3 years' time. And they knew they couldn't do it by themselves. That would be taboo. So their solution was to basically convene a sort of high council of, you know, the world's five greatest Leonardists, Leonardo specialists, to look at the picture in the National Gallery's restoration studios, conservation studios in London.
And that I love this, the meeting of the Leonardists.
Yeah, the meeting of the Leonardists. And that took place in May 2008 behind closed doors. Luke Sison came out of the meeting and told Nicholas Penny that everyone agreed that it was a Leonardo, although some people did were concerned that Leonardo's assistants might have painted part of the picture. Notice the blurred line, right? I mean, in a way, the whole thing about the whole
all about, you know, blurred lines.
The subtext here is yeah. Let's just forget about the Leonardo plus workshop category, and let's just call everything that might be Leonardo and workshop Leonardo, and then the Salvatore Mundi's a Leonardo. I mean, it's quite basic,
right? So there were some people at that meeting who did think it was a Leonardo, and others, like the art historian Carmen Bombach, who were not so confident.
She said, "I don't think this is a Leonardo da Vinci. I think it's a Boltraffio, one of his assistants, that Leonardo finished it off."
Did you go to that exhibition? Do you remember?
I did.
And you remember seeing the Salvatore Mundi there?
I did.
What did you make of it?
Oh, I mean, I didn't hear the music of the spheres. You know, I mean,
that you've been hoping for.
I can't pretend that I'm some expert art historian. I'm much more the guy who tells the story of the art historians. So, you know, I looked at it and thought, yeah, it's okay. It looks a bit odd. He's got a kind of froggy face, but it's got that sort of ethereal Leonardo feel about it, hasn't it?
I mean, feels authentic. Okay.
Well, not really. I mean, one's just left feeling ambivalent towards it.
So the exhibition takes place in London, 2011, and it was hugely popular. Lots of people saw the painting.
Well, I started queuing at 1 o'clock this morning.
I think there were 700 when we got here. There are masses and masses of people, but they all seemed perfectly happy to queue.
It was worth bearing the cold. It was worth the lack of sleep. It's a piece of history in the making.
Then after that, you might presume that the painting would be worth a lot and lots of private buyers would be wanting to get their hands on it. Was that the case?
No, it was quite difficult to sell after 2011.
Really?
Yeah, Robert Simon will suggest to you that's because he put such a high price tag on it.
Oh, how much did he put on it?
120 to 200 million.
Ooh, okay.
Nobody made an offer. Nobody said, well, how much will you take for this?
Because people didn't think it was real?
It's too damaged. Do you want a picture that damaged in your collection? How are you going to label it? Leonardo ? Plus workshop ? Plus restore it. It's just too tricky for a Western museum.
Coming up, the Salvatore Mundi finds a buyer. And then somebody does actually decide to buy it. A Russian businessman.
Yes.
Who is he and how does he fit into this story?
The picture was in the doldrums. You know, nobody seemed to want to buy it. And then along comes Dmitry Rybolovlev. Dmitry Rybolovlev made a fortune in the potash business in Russia. He's got $6 billion in the bank. What does he do? He decides to build a bespoke collection of the world's greatest paintings. It's like Modigliani. It's Picasso, it's Monet, it's Renoir. You know, it's basically, now that's what I call art, volume one. You know, I mean, it's hilarious. And see, Alex Parrish and Robert Simon are trying to sell the Salvatore Mundi. They write to Dmitry Rybolovlev. He says, oh, I'm interested. Then he asks his dealer, the person he's bought all his pictures off, Yves Bouvier, shall I buy it or not? Yves Bouvier says, I don't know. But Dmitry Rybolovlev says, no, I feel something with this picture. Yves Bouvier hammers Robert Simon and Alex Parrish down to a price of $80 million, which is actually $68 million in cash and an old Picasso apparently worth $12 million.
God, it must be so annoying when you hope to get $200 million and you only get $80 million.
They were desperate to sell it. 24 hours later, Yves Bouvier had sold it to Dmitry Rybolovlev for $127.5 million.
Very smart.
So eventually Rybolovlev finds out he's been overcharged for the Salvator Mundi and around 35 other paintings. And he launches another lawsuit against, these are all lawsuits against Bouvier. He launches another lawsuit against Sotheby's, who he claims were in on it and were helping Bouvier overcharge him.
I mean, those lawsuits have been going on for years now, haven't they? And they've actually become known as the Bouvier Affair, with this art dealer facing criminal charges for money laundering and fraud in several countries. Bouvier denies any wrongdoing, and a court in Monaco has recently dismissed Rybolovlev's claim against him. So I imagine after all of this, Rybolovlev might not have such a good feeling about the Salvator Mundi anymore.
Well, he told me that he still loved art, but he felt after this Salvator Mundi saga, he couldn't really look at his paintings the same way again. And he started to put them on the market. The Salvator Mundi sold for three times what he'd paid for it.
So he was the person who sold it through Christie's.
Rybolovlev, yeah, made the decision to consign the painting to Christie's.
And that brought us to Lot 9B. When it goes to auction at Christie's, are Christie's certain that this is a genuine Leonardo?
Christie's produced a catalogue, in a way based on the National Gallery's catalogue and inverted commas research into the Salvator Mundi, that was, in a way, even on its own terms, contradictory, because there's a sort of bit at the beginning where it sort of says, probably in the collection of Francis I, probably brought over to Britain by Princess Henrietta Maria, who married Charles I, probably in the collection of Charles I, probably in the collection of Charles II. Anyway, and so it goes on. There's a, you know, it starts to, the probably starts to become indisputable.
It's the world's most expensive painting, but you're not convinced that this is a genuine Leonardo da Vinci painting.
Well, right now I'm hiding behind it might be, but we don't know yet. So I know that's a cop-out, because actually you're meant to say, I think it's this or I think it's that. But I think, you know, I think in the age of fake news and post-truth, it's important to say no clear argument has been presented that this is a Leonardo da Vinci, but it might be. I think it's very unlikely to be Leonardo. It's just too weird. You know, it's almost certainly a work by a assistant, you know, that is so badly damaged, you know, so much of the face has been worn away, it's the most damaged part, that the picture looks more Leonardo than it actually is.
After Mohammed bin Salman bought that painting, it disappeared from public view, and it was reported that it had been installed on Mohammed bin Salman's yacht.
The world's most expensive work of art is said to have resurfaced after its whereabouts were unknown for 18 months. Artnet.com says Leonardo da Vinci's Salvator Mundi is on a super yacht owned by Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. The 500-year-old painting.
Alex Parrish and Robert Simon and some of the Leonardists might be a bit worried that this very valuable painting is bobbing around on a yacht somewhere.
I think everyone would be very, very worried that if this painting was bobbing around on a yacht, you don't want that picture in a damp environment. I mean, I'm sure Mohammed bin Salman's got really great air conditioning on his yacht, but still, I would question if that was a good idea. But, you know, the yacht is only a theory. Nobody knows where this picture is, right? Nobody knows. My best guess is that it's in a lockup in Switzerland, you know, in the Geneva Freeport.
I mean, are we ever going to see it again? Could the public ever see Salvator Mundi again?
I am not a prophet. Let me gaze into my crystal orb and tell you what will happen in the future as regards to Salvator Mundi. Just so I might end up with egg on my face, I'm going to say I think we're not going to see the Salvator Mundi for another 50 years.
Wow, okay. Ben, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
That was Ben Lewis. His book, The Last Leonardo, is available to buy now. We contacted Christie's about this episode, and a spokesperson told us the attribution to Leonardo was established 10 years prior to the sale by a panel of a dozen scholars ahead of its unveiling as part of the National Gallery exhibition, and was reconfirmed at the time of sale in 2017. While we recognise that this painting is a subject of enormous public opinion, no new discussion or speculation since the 2017 sale at Christie's has caused us to revisit its position. They said they wouldn't comment on whether Mohammed bin Salman was the buyer of the painting. We also contacted Sotheby's, who didn't provide a statement. Today's episode was produced by Chika Ayres, Elizabeth Cassin, Hannah Moore and Sam Colbert. Sound design was by Axel Kakutier, assisted by Nicholas Alexander. The executive producers are Phil Maynard and Nicole Jackson. We'll be back tomorrow.